Sheffield Live, made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends. Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Sheffield Live, made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082. Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and Friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Are you a keen Sheffield Live listener? Do you want to get involved? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and it gets better when you take part. Contact us to find out how you can be part of Sheffield's newest radio station. Call us on 281-4092 or email us on info@sheffieldlife.org. 93.2 FM, Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
This is Sheffield Live.
This is Communities Live.
Because at that time the housing was cheaper.
I know it's not a big city centre, but there's still quite a few shops I quite like it.
Dog and Partridge on Trippitt Lane every other Thursday.
I love the green room just for like acoustic nights.
This is Communities Live.
It's a very big question, isn't it?
We have a diverse society in Sheffield.
I like all the art sculptures.
It's friendly, there's a lot to do.
I really like the Peace Gardens. I like all the little fountains and little areas that you can just sit out and chill in.
Sheffield is a very nice city.
This is Communities Live.
I love Sheffield, yes. Love it. Been here 17 years.
I like Sheffield because the people are very friendly.
This is a large student community, so it makes it like very lively, very vibrant city in that regard, and also very multicultural, no?
And we love the Sheffield people.
Everything, the city, the nature, the outside of Sheffield, it's lovely. Great place.
I'd run right into hell and back. I would do anything for love. I'll never lie to you, and that's a fact. But I'll never forget the way you feel right now. And I would do anything for love. Oh, I would do anything for love. I would do anything for love. But I won't do that. No, I won't do that. Some days it don't come easy, and some days it don't come hard. Some days it don't come at all, and these are the days that never end. And some nights you're breathing fire, and some nights you're caught in ice. Some nights you're like nothing I've ever seen before. Will again. And maybe I'm crazy. Oh, it's crazy and it's true. I know you can save me. No one else can save me now but you. As long as the planets are turning, as long as the stars are burning, as long as your dreams are coming true, you better believe it, that I would do anything for love. And I'll be there till the final. Pact. But I'll never forgive myself if we don't go all the way tonight. And I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. No, I won't. For silence, and some days I pray for soul. Some days I just pray to the god of sex and drums and rock and roll. And maybe I'm lonely, that's all I'm qualified to be. That's just one and only promise I can keep. As long as the wheels are turning, as long as the
won't do.
Will you raise me up? Will you help me down? Will you get me right out of this godforsaken town? Will you make it all a little less cold?
I can do that.
Territory up and around, it'll all turn to dust and we'll all fall down. Sooner or later you'll be screwing around.
I won't do that. No, I won't do that. Anything for love. Oh, I would do anything for love. I would do
Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to Communities Live here at Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. That was Duran Duran and Evil Woman, classic tune by ELO as well. And I've got a couple of interviews for you to listen to. So we're going to start off by playing Samaritans. So we're going to play the Samaritans interview for you. So if you want to help save lives, have a listen to this interview. It is a great listen to. And also, if you want to support, if you know anybody is feeling suicidal or depressed and we want someone to talk to, please get in contact with Samaritans. Here is Chris and Ali with Samaritans. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to Communities Live here at Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. And we have Olivia Cayley and Louise McNally. Good afternoon.
Hi, Chris.
So, I mean, this is really an important topic that we're going to talk about. And hopefully we can do more to save lives. But, I mean, a lot of people, unfortunately, are struggling to cope, which is unfortunate. And I mean, it could be like cost of living, it could be depression, it could be anything. I mean, what can we do more to help people?
It's a really great question, Chris, and it's why we have launched the Small Talk Saves Lives campaign again this year. It's a campaign that we run in partnership with Network Rail, the British Transport Police and the wider rail industry. And it encourages people to strike up a conversation if they think someone isn't okay, encouraging them that we have all the skills within us, our words, to potentially save a life. So as you said, if you think someone isn't okay, it can be a simple question such as, do you know where I can get a coffee, or are you okay, that could make all the difference to their day.
But I mean, I'm just reading this report as well, and I mean, two-fifths of people have avoided somebody who doesn't look okay because they are too terrified to make small talk. I mean, that's shocking, really, isn't it?
I think there is a little bit of nervousness. I think many people would feel quite nervous about approaching somebody if they felt that they were struggling to cope. There's a bit of nervousness about what to say and if there's a possibility that perhaps they might make things a bit worse. In reality, it's very, very difficult to make things worse. There's lots of evidence to support the fact that actually you're probably going to make things better for that person. And actually, what the campaign is asking is that you just make a little bit of small talk. So something that for most of us, we do every single day. It's that simple. So a simple, are you okay? Or, you know, paying somebody a compliment can make such a huge difference to somebody's life.
I mean, also a majority, which is 67%. I mean, that is an incredible amount of people, yeah, that would appreciate somebody checking on them. And if they were struggling to cope, I mean, that is an incredible amount of people, that.
Yeah, exactly. It shows that at an individual level, we all want that human connection. If we were in a difficult place or struggling with anything, we want that to be gifted to us. And so this is why this campaign is really important, because it reminds everyone, if you want that, then actually we have to gift that to other people. We have to be out there and maybe do something that makes us feel slightly awkward for a moment. But on the other side of that could really make a huge difference to someone's life.
I mean, I want to ask as well, I mean, what do you think is stopping people from making small talk to people? I mean, what do you think their fears are?
So Louise mentioned it. We know from research that we've done that around 30% of people aren't sure what to say. Like, what actual sentence do I come out with here? And as Louise and I have shared, it can be something really simple, like talking about the British weather, asking if someone's okay or where you can get a coffee. But also people are worried that they'd say the wrong thing or that their help wouldn't be welcome. But what we also know is that it's always going to be better to say something rather than nothing and walk away wondering, could I have made a difference?
And I mean, you are working for Samaritans, and Louise, you are working for Network Rail. So, I mean, what are Network Rail and Samaritans trying to do to help out?
So we've been working together for 15 years now. So it's a long-standing relationship between Samaritans, Network Rail, British Transport Police and the wider rail industry. And throughout that relationship, I think we have seen across the rail industry, certainly, those conversations that we've been talking about, they play out every single day across the railway. And it doesn't need to be contained to the railway. You know, we'd like to see those conversations, that checking in on people, sure, happening everywhere. And, you know, having a conversation with, you know, friends, colleagues, just checking in to make sure that they're okay. But also, if you're not okay and you feel you want to reach out to Samaritans, then we're encouraging people to do that.
Well, let's hope we can do more. I mean, let's hope we can get this out and help the public as well, because we would love to help you out with this. And I mean, talking about Samaritans, I mean, can you tell us a little bit about Samaritans for people who don't? I mean, people have probably heard about Samaritans, but I think people might want to know what Samaritans is about.
Of course, yeah. So we are the UK's longest standing suicide prevention charity. We've been around now for over 70 years, and we have a 24/7 helpline that if you're struggling to cope or you just need someone to listen to you for a while, if you don't know where to turn, our volunteers will be there for you. And you can reach us in a number of different ways. You can call us on 116 123. It's a free helpline. Or you can email us if you prefer to write to us. And you can do that at jo@samaritans.org. We do a lot of other things as a charity. We raise awareness of suicide. We also work with the government in terms of making sure that the funding is there and the support is there when people need it. So there's a range of different things we do. But it's really about reducing lives lost to suicide and supporting those affected by it.
And I mean, it's a great cause, and I've got to say thank you for sharing that with us, Olivia, and Louise as well. Thank you so much. And I want to ask, I mean, for the public, I mean, other than talking, doing small talk, what can we do more? What can we do more to help save lives?
It's a really great question, Chris. I think talking is at the essence of what we do, and listening, really hearing someone and you know, as Louise said, reaching out to a friend, a colleague, if you just think something isn't okay, maybe talking to your local council, understanding how you can help in the community, or if you want to give more time, volunteering, you know, turning to a local charity or a national charity like us, giving your time can be so rewarding and can make a real impact.
And I mean, my final question for you, because we quickly run out of time. I mean, there's plenty I would love to talk to you about, but unfortunately, we run out of time. But I'd like to give a final word to you two. So what would you like to say to our listeners who is currently listening right now?
So I would say, if you're having a difficult time, if you are struggling, don't wait. Talk to somebody, whether it's a friend, a colleague, or if you feel that, you know, you would benefit from a conversation with Samaritans. They're there 24/7. But don't wait. You know, do it as soon as you can, because I think that just brings so many benefits.
And I've just remembered one more question for our listeners. Can you give us the phone number out for Samaritans for anybody that wants to get in contact?
Yeah, of course. So you can reach us on 116 123, and you can reach us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Olivia, Louise, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Chris. You. Likewise.
Thank you so much to Samaritans. Now, if you are being affected by anybody who is currently suffering from depression and they need help, please contact the Samaritans. Thank you so much to Samaritans again. Now, we're moving on to our next interview. We have Scarlett Douglas, who is going to talk about how to be more eco-friendly and also what are the benefits of being more eco-friendly. Here is Scarlett Douglas from A Place in the Sun talking about how to be more eco-friendly. Here it is. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to Communities Live here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. And we have Scarlett Douglas. Good afternoon.
Hello, Chris. It's great to be here. What a great topic we're going to be talking about today.
It is. It's a very interesting topic, actually. And I've got to say, I mean, it's quite shocking, actually, what I'm reading as well, in a good way. But, I mean, £16,000 making homes to be more energy efficient. That is an outrageous amount of money, isn't it?
Do you know what? And that's kind of the costly mistake that people are having to spend out because they haven't initially started asking the right questions. So Hive have recently done some research, and with that, a lot of percentages have come out of people that do and don't do certain things. And some of them are quite shocking. So 75% of people are more interested in the curb appeal of a property as opposed to actually looking at what's beneath that and how efficient a property is. A lot of people don't ask for the EPC, finding out what the energy performance rating is from the property. In fact, 35% of people actually don't ask that question. And a lot of people are considering certain things and aspects of a property and features rather than how much are they going to be spending out every month on paying their bills because they're losing heat, for example. So I'm trying to have the right conversations and explain to people that, yes, of course, everybody loves style, but we need to also think about sustainability and not look at one over the other, or definitely not look at style over sustainability. Instead, we want them to kind of be on an even playing field, or think about sustainability first and foremost, and then think about how they can style their home to be beautiful for them.
I mean, you just mentioned a good point as well, because, I mean, everybody's, unfortunately, we're in a cost of living crisis as well. And unfortunately, yes, everything is going up, electric, heating. And I mean, and to be more energy efficient, I mean, a lot of people can't afford it.
No, a lot of people can't afford it. And I do understand that. And I think what's important is that rather than people think, I definitely can't afford it, and then not even look into it, people need to start thinking, okay, I can't afford that right now, but what schemes are out there that can help me? The government have some great schemes at the moment. You know, they've got a heat pump grant under the boiler upgrade scheme, and that's £7,500 that is going to be given to you potentially once you look into it, that can save you on that hefty bill. So don't instantly rule things out. Don't instantly think, no, I definitely can't afford it. Mm-hmm. Let's look at the things and the options that are affordable to start off with, and also the grants that are out there to help make our homes more efficient.
And I mean, to our listeners at home who want like help with financial finances to go more sustainable and more eco-friendly, I mean, you mentioned grants. So, I mean, where would people look to go for grants?
They can literally head to government websites. There's some really great information. In fact, at the moment, there's the Great British Insulation Scheme, and it's basically a government energy efficient scheme, which is formerly known as the ECO Plus. And it's basically a way for the government to help cover costs of certain things. So the scheme actually started in April 2023. It goes on to April 2026. And it's helping to deliver improvements to the least energy efficient homes in the UK, and to tackle fuel poverty and to help reduce energy bills. So there's a lot of information on the government website. And like I said, there's definitely money to help with certain situations, to help with those that can't particularly afford it themselves specifically.
I mean, I think everybody eventually wants to go eco-friendly, eventually. But I mean, to our listeners at home, I mean, can you tell us a bit about the benefits of going eco-friendly?
Absolutely. I mean, first of all, carbon footprint, right? Having a home that's sustainable, knowing that 75% of people are willing to pay more money for a property that is energy efficient. And also the amount of money that we can be saving in the long run. Yes, we're going to be spending out at the beginning. Yes, we're going to be spending out what we think is quite a lot. But over time, that money that we're then managing to accumulate and save is going to be so much better off for us in the future. So it's about future-proofing properties. It's knowing that the atmosphere that we're currently in, the world is not changing, and actually things are getting worse when we think about certain parts of our solar system, or, you know, or the green belt, or whatever it is. So how can we future-proof as best as possible to know that we're not going to be spending out loads of money across the period of, say, 5, 10, 15, 20 years?
And I mean, for anybody that's looking towards being eco-friendly, does that mean like having like solar panels on houses and stuff like that?
Yeah, but we can go as small as just getting good thermostats. We can go as small as getting energy efficient light bulbs. Of course, solar panels are great. Of course, heat pumps or combi boilers or certain boilers are great. But even small things like making sure cavity walls are insulated. There are so many options out there. And what's great about Hive is if you go to their website, hivehome.com, they list their products there. They list the ways that they are going to be helping you with saving money, saving costs. Their sister company is British Gas. They have certain tariffs that are going to help save you money, but also they're thinking about their customers. They're thinking about how they're making customer homes sustainable. And we need to think about sustainability moving forward, because we're not kind of getting any better in terms of the world over. We have to do things ourselves that are going to help overall, help with things overall and make our lives easier, but also the lives of the younger generations as well.
And I mean, I'm going to say, I mean, if when we all go eco-friendly eventually, I mean, what sort of benefits can you tell us the benefits?
Yeah, I mean, there are loads of benefits. Even like, obviously, we're talking about money right now. We're thinking about cost cutting, but also in terms of energy use for the world over, getting EV chargers for your car is going to be great for you. It's going to be better off because we know that there are going to be a lot more electric cars. There aren't as many fumes going out into the atmosphere and into the system. So therefore, we're going to have greener areas, greener neighbourhoods. These are things that are important. These are things that people are looking for. We don't want children kind of in neighborhoods, in schools, in areas that there's just a lot of smog around. We want to try and make things as healthy and as clean as possible. So it's going to help us in the long run.
Well, hopefully we can do that in the near future. Hopefully we can do that soon. And
exactly.
I mean, we're going near to the end of the interview. I've got one more question for you.
Yes.
So, I mean, for our listeners at home, I mean, how can people get more information on this? I mean, you mentioned the website,
yes.
But also for anybody that doesn't have, like, digital access, I mean, it's quite rare right now, but, I mean, like, for anybody that doesn't have a computer or anything like
yeah.
that, how can people get physical information?
Ask as many questions as possible to those people that maybe do have access to these sort of things, whether it is an app on their phone, whether it is a website. Internet cafes still exist. You can go there. You can go into an estate agent. You can ask them. There's so much information on hand. Magazines, newspapers, there are always articles, radio stations. You know, Chris, we're having a conversation now about this. So there's so much more information that we are giving out that people probably didn't know when we first started this interview. So I think as much as it's important to get your information, don't worry about where to get it from. Just ask the right questions, ask people, because if you don't know, someone else might know. And if they don't know, they may find out for you. So just ask around. No question is too silly. No ask is too much is what I like to say.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for your time. My final question for you is, what would you like to say to our listeners who is currently listening right now?
I would like to say head to hivehome.com to find out more information about how you can make your home as sustainable and as eco-friendly and energy efficient as possible. Let's save you guys some money and let's do what we can to help with that.
Scarlett Douglas, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Chris. Take care.
If you like rock in all its forms, you will love Glory Days. You can listen to us locally on 93.2 FM and on the telly, and anywhere in the world on sheffieldlive.org. What do you think, Don? You know what? I think he likes it. That's Glory Days, every Monday 1 till 3 here on Sheffield Live. Bosh, bosh. Oops, I've had an accident.
And many thanks to Scarlett Douglas on how to be more eco-friendly in your own home. And if you were, we also have another interview for you. But before that, I want to say we are currently looking for volunteers for Communities Live. If you are interested in doing a presenting role or a producing role, we are currently looking for more people. So if you are interested in joining us, you can get in contact with us on our Facebook page at Communities Live. We also have our very own website at sheffieldlive.org, or you can get in contact with me at chrisandi89@gmail.com. Again, you can get in touch with us on our Communities Live Facebook page. We also have our very own Sheffield Live webpage as well, you can get in contact with. And also, I have my own email, as in chrisandi89@gmail.com. Now we've got another interview for you, ladies and gentlemen. We have Matt Wakeford, who is an actor who's been in Not Going Out, and is going to talk about his latest film, Karma, which is going to be released in cinemas tomorrow. Here is Matt Wakeford and me. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to Communities Live here at Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. And we have actor Matt Wakeford. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are we doing?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, decent. Not too bad. I'm in a good day so far.
Good to hear. Good to hear, mate. So, I mean, I've got to talk about your acting career because you've been quite a few TV shows as well as films. And I'm going to mention Not Going Out, Grace, and I Hate Susie. So, I mean, tell us a bit about how you got into those roles.
So, I've been doing acting for quite a while, ever since sort of GCSE years. I sort of realised that's kind of where I excelled or what I enjoyed most. So then I went to college, whatnot, and then to Rose Bruford Drama School, graduated in 2019. I managed to get an agent at our showcase, and then, you know, my agent sent auditions through, and those three were three I was lucky to get cast in. And I had a great time with them all. It was all really good experience to be on set, especially with Not Going Out, because I had 2 weeks rehearsal period with sort of Lee Mack and all of them, all the cast in there, and they were great. I could ask them any questions. I learned a lot from them, really.
And I mean, I've got to ask, I mean, for our listeners at home who want to break into acting and stuff like that, I mean, how difficult is it? And also, what advice would you give to our listeners?
It is difficult. You're told all the time as an actor that it's difficult from very early on. But I'm a firm believer of everything is possible. It's just all about how hard you work towards it. If it's your genuine passion and enjoyment, don't listen to the people saying it's hard or accept the challenge of it being hard, I would say, and try your very best, because that's what puts you ahead of other people that might listen to people saying it's hard. Hard work, I believe, always outweighs talent, because people can be talented and not use it, but those that work hard, especially, and have talent, you can learn talent as well. You can learn all these things. Acting's one of them things that the more you learn about it, the better you're going to get. Like, it's like anything. Like,
sure. And I mean, I've got to ask you as well, Matt. I mean, as an actor, I mean, who are your main inspirations?
My main inspirations are, because I started doing comedy acting. I really do enjoy comedy acting, although this film, there's no comedy acting in it. Ricky Gervais and The Office and Peep Show, those two shows merged into, well, just those two shows in general, just, I think they shaped me a little bit as a person growing up, because my dad always had The Office on, and I sort of just was kind of indoctrinated into it from a young age, but I'm very happy. I remember watching it when I was younger, didn't really understand. Then I got to an age and watched it back and thought, this is actually hilarious. Like, I didn't get it when I was a kid, but yeah, so comedy-wise, that's sort of my inspirations. But in more TV and film, I think it sounds quite obvious, but I think Tom Hardy's an absolutely brilliant actor.
Oh, legend.
I saw him. He's a legend, isn't he?
He is.
I saw him for the first time. I watched him was actually in Bronson, and I remember thinking, like, that's how it's done. Like, that's acting. That's brilliant stuff. So he's quite inspirational. Obviously, people like Leonardo DiCaprio. I watched Shutter Island again recently. And incredible film, and he's just ridiculous in it. Like, he's just ridiculously good.
Yeah.
And one thing you realise when you're on set and when you film this kind of stuff, because people watch the thing, people just see the progression of the character. They don't realise that one scene is filmed and then there's a break. You have got to go into another scene. And for him especially, to keep that level of intensity, just that's I don't know, that's months and months, possibly a year plus of filming and having to stay in the correct emotion to, I don't know, it's just, he's just brilliant.
I get what you mean. It's like you got to the, it's like if you have that talent, you have it. If you get what I mean, it's like you say, it's very hard to focus on one scene to the next, like you say, because it's like one scene is like one different day. It's each one scene each different day. So it's like you say, it must be really difficult for actors to keep that acting ability.
Yeah, because you can go from. It's very likely you're not going to go from one scene straight into the next. You're going to be filming one scene and then you're going to be filming something completely different, possibly in the same day or the next day. And then later on, you'll return to that bit there. But it's interesting. It's fun. Like, it's challenging, but if you enjoy it, then, yeah, it's good fun.
And I mean, I've got to ask you as well, Matt. I mean, what was the first film or TV series that captured your imagination and thought to yourself, gosh, I really want to become an actor? What was that film or TV series?
Thinking back, obviously I mentioned the Office, but that was sort of, yeah, that's mainly just comedy. I can't remember the exact one, but I remember watching Breaking Bad. I'm not too sure when exactly that came out. I was doing acting up until then, but maybe my attention had sort of strayed into other paths because I run a business as well, selling clothes. So I think I was juggling the two. Then I saw Breaking Bad and, you know, absolutely obsessed with it. And the acting in that's just unbelievable. Yeah. And just, I don't know, you see it and you're like, I just want to do something like that in years to come. And yeah, hopefully I can do. And yeah.
I mean, you mentioned Breaking Bad. I mean, it's a fantastic series as well. And I want to ask you your opinion as an actor. I mean, like, to say that there's a lot of TV series that goes on for years and years and years. And, like, in later years, it gets stale. So what would you say would be the sweet spot for a TV series? Would you say about 5 or 6 series, or would you say a bit longer?
This is it. I think as long as the writer has written it with a certain number of series in mind.
Mm-hmm.
They've got the idea of where it's going to go. They know exactly, they've planned out the story that can go as long as that takes. I think Breaking Bad's 5 series, I believe.
Yeah.
And I imagine Vince Gilligan, I believe his name is, but I imagine he knew exactly where the story was going. I think some series finish and then they, for public demand, they feel like they need to continue. Then money comes into play and it's more about the money. And I don't know, for example, a show for me is like Benidorm. I thought the first couple of series of Benidorm was great and then it just got a little bit farcical, bit caricature. And I think it was just continuing because it could. When they had a set out storyline,
I mean, it's like I watched The Walking Dead, and it's a great show with Rick when Andrew Lincoln was in it, and I thought it was his story, but it's like it felt to me when he left the series altogether, it felt like the series ended. It's like even though it continued on with the other cast members and stuff like that, like Daryl and Carl and everyone else who was in that series, it felt like when his story had ended, the show had ended, but it was Kevin that's taken it, really.
Exactly. I've not seen The Walking Dead, but I can put it in perspective with Breaking Bad. You don't have Walter White there, then, I mean, you could, because it goes on to Better Call Saul. Better Call Saul is a great character. Saul is a great character, but in the terms of just Breaking Bad, once Walter White goes, like, I don't know, he is the character, isn't he? He's the one that broke bad, so to speak.
I mean, it's like, do you follow on where his Prodigy carries on, or do you just end it where he actually, spoilers if you haven't seen it, anybody, where he gets killed off? And it's like you say, I mean, it must be so hard for a screenwriter to think of what to do next if they want to
move
forward.
No, I completely agree, because I remember Breaking Bad actually did they did a film sort of following on from the Breaking Bad. I can't remember what it was, but I feel like that wasn't necessary. There was no Walter White in it. I feel like they were a bit sort of milking a cash cow in a sense, because the story for me wasn't that exciting, and it was like an episode that continued on. I don't know, but yeah.
And I want to talk about your cinema release that is coming out soon, actually. So it is called Kama, or should I say K-A-M-A, should I say?
Yeah, so it's Karma, I think they're going... I think they're going for. But yeah, no, I can understand why, because there's the R missing.
So, I mean, so without giving too much away... Tell us a bit about the plot of the film, but don't give too much away.
Okay, so my character is a guy called Sam, who's a famous actor, well known in the... He's quite a celebrity, he's very, very well known. And he's had a lot of those kind of Me Too claims made about him, if you know what I mean, like the Me Too...
Yeah.
He's had a lot of allegations made about him. And you don't know whether they're just allegations or whether it's just been blown out of proportion. It's just media hype and people catching on to it.
Sure.
But there's a character called Leo who was in... he's in the Afghanistan war. And his wife... dies whilst he's away, and he hears that my character might have had something to do with his death, that I had maybe had some kind of affair or something which drove her to a bad place, or you know. But then he turns up at my... he comes back to wreak revenge, he turns up at my doorstep, and then kind of chaos ensues, if that's the correct word.
And, I mean, I've got to ask you from an actor's point of view as well. I mean, because you worked on TV series and the film. I mean, what is the most difficult? Is it a TV series or is it a film? Or do we have both different challenges, would you say?
For me, I would say a film is actually easier. Well, because not... It's difficult to say. Depends the size of the role, I guess. This was my biggest role I've been in. And I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the process of staying in the character. And the longer you're in a character, the more you learn about...
Sure.
The more I learned about him. And it was a really enjoyable process to sort of grow that character. And I did different sides of acting that I haven't necessarily tried before, and I think they work really well, and they've given me confidence moving forward that I can play these kind of roles.
And I mean, as well, I mean, for an actor yourself as well, I mean, how long did it take to film the actual film itself? Was it a long process, or did it come together quite quickly?
This was done quite quickly. Because it was quite an independent film. I think they didn't have the biggest budget, so it was it's quite impressive what we did in such a short period of time. I think it was filmed over about a month's period, which for a feature-length film is very quick. So I think the film is testament to what you can do in a short period of time if you know what you're doing. Like, I think everyone knew the task at hand, and executed it quite well, I think.
And I mean, you get a lot of big budget films now, and I've got to say, it's I think some of those films, like, I mean, you get a lot of Marvel superhero films, and it's like they get stale after so many years now. And I mean, it's like, I think independent films, I mean, you don't see many independent films in cinemas, unfortunately, which is a shame, really, because it's like it fresh, it gives you a brand new perspective on what idea more, right? There's more ideas other than like typical action films, your typical horror films, or your typical superhero films. And it's a shame, really, that we don't get much as much recognition as a big budget film, really. Would you say that?
Yeah, definitely. There's definitely a lot of independent filmmakers making brilliant stuff. It just doesn't necessarily get the recognition it deserves. I think we've been lucky to get onto the platform that we've got onto for this. That we're on, we're going to be it's going to be screened in several Odeon cinemas across the country. There's a few Cineworld cinemas that are holding it, and View. Yeah, there's a few cinemas. So I think there's 250 plus across the UK and Ireland. Which I was really happy. I didn't realise that was going to be the case when we filmed it. So I was very happy when I heard that was going to be the case.
I mean, was you expecting it to be like a Netflix film or Amazon Prime? You know, all digital platforms.
Yeah, I knew it was going to go on Amazon Prime. And they said they were going to try for Netflix, but I'm not sure if that's happening or happened. I'm not too sure. But I'm certain it's going to go on Amazon Prime. But yeah, I found out maybe 2 or 3 months ago that it's going to be shown in British cinemas, which is very exciting.
And when is the release date for the film?
Release date is the 7th of March, so it's a Friday, 7th of March.
What is time? I mean, so watch this space, ladies and gentlemen. And I mean, and to our listeners who want to follow you on social media, do you have like Instagram, X, formerly known as Twitter, Facebook, where people can follow you on?
So I've got Instagram, Matt Wakeford. It's just Matt Wakeford and then an underscore. That's just a page for my acting. I don't really do social media that much. I only do it for business. I don't really do it for a personal side of things. I do it for my acting and my business. But yeah, I post all my acting stuff on there. I do have Facebook. It's just Matt Wakeford, but I think there's quite a few Matt Wakefords on the old Facebook. There is an Instagram for the film. I think it's called Karma the Movie, but Karma spelled K-A-M-A.
Matt Wakeford, it's been a pleasure. And I've got my final question for you, because I like to give the final word to you, is what would you like to say to our listeners who is currently listening right now?
Thank you for listening, for starters. If you get a chance to, pop down to the cinema and see Karma. As I said, it'll be on 7th of March. I think you'll have a good time. It was good fun making, and I hope you do enjoy it. And yeah, come and support sort of independent filmmakers.
Matt, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for your time, and good luck with the new film.
Legend. Thank you very much, Chris.
And that was Matt Wakeford, and talking about his latest film called Karma, which is coming out tomorrow. We are coming near to the end of the show now, so we have got one more song for you to listen to. But before that, I want to say thank you so much for listening today. And if you want to get involved with Communities Live or Sheffield Live, we are currently looking for more volunteers. So if you are interested in doing either a presenting role or a producing role, we are looking for volunteers. So you can get in touch with us at our Communities Live Facebook page. We also have our very own Sheffield Live website as well. Or you can get in touch with me directly at chrisdenelli89@gmail.com. Again, you can get in touch with us on our Communities Live Facebook page. We also have our very own website at sheffieldlive.org, and we also have
I also have my own email as well, so you can get in touch with me there at chrisandellie89@gmail.com. Now we're going to play our last track of the day. We're going to play Bon Jovi, She Don't Know Me, and I will see you again soon. Goodbye.
This is Communities Live.
Because at that time the housing was cheaper.
I know it's not a big city centre, but there's still quite a few shops. I quite like it.
Dog and Partridge on Trippitt Lane every other Thursday.
I love the green room just for like acoustic nights.
This is Communities Live.
It's a very big question, isn't it?
We have a diverse society in Sheffield.
I like all the art sculptures.
It's friendly, there's a lot to do.
I really like the Peace Gardens. I like all the
little fountains and little areas that you can just sit out and chill in.
Sheffield is a very nice city.
This is Communities Live.
I love Sheffield, yes. Love it. Been here 17 years.
I like Sheffield because the people are very friendly.
This is a large student community, so it makes it like very lively, very vibrant city in that regard, and also very multicultural.